Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and so I'm talking millionaires and money, and today, especially monopolies. I am so excited because we've got one of the country's foremost experts on monopoly power with us today. He has studied and helps governments, including the U.S. government, but also the International Monetary Fund, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, understand what monopolies mean and how they can threaten freedom and security and prosperity. It's so timely because this week, the U.S. Department of Justice under the Biden administration filed the second monopoly case against Google, the giant, massive, huge default, if you will, search engine. That case getting underway in Virginia court. His name is Barry Lynn. He is the executive director of the Open Markets Institute, a think tank focused on exposing the dangers of monopolization. Welcome, Barry. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
It's great to be with you.
You have done some prescient calling of some economic disruptions that we've seen. You basically predicted supply chain crises, especially the most recent ones. You've got ideas about how to solve this fracture in the U.S. economy. But I want to get a little background first because, boy, it must feel like a little bit of just desserts, Barry, because this second lawsuit brought by the DOJ, of course, the Department of Justice scoring an absolutely huge and historic victory against Google just a month or two ago. But your history with Google goes back quite some way. Back in 2018, you were at the Open Markets Institute. You were criticizing Google pretty openly, and you got fired. Turns out the guy who was the chairman of Google at the time didn't like what you had to say. And did he get you fired? Is that what happened here?
Yes, I was running the Open Markets program at the New America Foundation, which is a large think tank here in D.C. And I'd actually been there for 15 years at that point. I had gotten there. I'd spent a number of years as a senior fellow. I wrote two books as a senior fellow, and then I started this program to really sort of dig into the issues of how concentration was threatening our national security, threatening our democracy, threatening our liberty, and had quite a bit of success starting from really nothing. And then one day, it was actually in 2017, the European Commission fined Google $2.7 billion for illegal activity. And we put out a little statement that said, hey, American regulators and forces should study this, learn from it, and build on it, because Google poses a number of real threats to the American economy and American democracy. And within a few hours, we knew that we had struck some kind of nerve with the folks inside. Within 2 days, we were invited to depart.
Yes. I love some corporate lingo. Very nice. They basically got you fired because you spoke the truth. And folks, this is just a little side note, little tangent side note. We're going to get back to the meat and potatoes here. What Mr. Lynn, what Barry Lynn, my guest today, was doing was using his objective expertise. He was speaking as a professional, objectively sharing with the public a real threat to a healthy capitalistic economy. He got fired for it. Now, Mr. Lynn wasn't working inside the government, but I just want to say this, folks. I am very scared of a government where the leadership is populated by personal loyalists, because if you think objectivity, independence, and getting the truth out there will result, you're fooling yourself. It's just a little tangent from me. Since that time, so that occurred back in 2017, and thanks for correcting the entities, that is what led you to start and found the Open Markets Institute. What has happened with Google? That was way back in 2017. A lot's been going on here.
Yeah, so when... That hurt them, you know, that story, that event hurt them, because you know, they expected us to kind of slink away and go hide someplace, and then they were going to come in and sort of destroy our reputation. And we ended up, we fought back, and we ended up getting that on the front page of the New York Times. And we ended up getting that. That story exploded around the world at the time. This is 7 years ago. But it really put a hurt on Google's reputation. They had spent a lot of time saying, hey, we don't do evil. We're really helpful. We work with we're in favor of open, transparent communications. And so this really put a, that put a serious hurt on their reputation. And then what has happened since then, and this is that the most important is that in 2019 and 2020, pretty much every single state in the United States got together, the attorneys general of all these states, they got together and they opened an investigation of Google. Republicans, Democrats working together. And then that investigation has led to two separate cases, both of which are now led by the Department of Justice. The feds federalized these cases. One of them was on search, this, you know, Google's search monopoly. And that's the one that the DOJ won about a month ago. And then this other one is about Google's control over what they call ad tech. And this is the technology that really controls all the most of the ads that you see on websites, on newspapers. And Google sort of has kind of consolidated absolute control over that space and really manages that whole system and taxes every part of it and manipulates every part of it and uses it to make every single newspaper that you know and love and every single publication that you know and love and depend on, make them afraid. So it's a system of control that is absolutely awesome in its nature and extent. And thank goodness we actually have a government that is now going straight at this and means to break it out and apart.
Yeah, there's so much there, Barry. Monopolies are bullies at their base. They are anti-competition engines. The less competition you have, they're information hoarders, right? They create barriers to entry. All of that is the opposite of capitalism. If you take your first micro class, capitalism, its basic structure, when it works well, is you got free and open, low transaction cost markets with perfect information. Well, that's the idea. Monopolies run counter to that on every axis. My special guest this half hour is Barry Lynn, Executive Director of the Open Markets Institute. He's written three books on monopolies. This is the thing that I don't get. Anybody who runs a business knows that the greater you sort of move towards monopoly power, the more profits you can extract. But the most fundamental of economics, and those that say that they believe in capitalism, is that we want free markets. What's going on? Like, is monopolization a bigger problem today than it was 20 years ago? And if so, why?
Yeah, so what, you know, the anti-monopoly regulatory system in the United States, it really dates to 1776. You know, it's like we want, it's a basic thing. You don't want to have people have concentrated power over you. We don't want another state to have power over us. You know, back then we didn't want Britain to have power over us, 1776. We don't want private corporations to have power over us. And so the Constitution itself, you know, the Declaration of Independence, independence from the power of another state. Constitution, the greatest anti-monopoly document ever. It's like, how do you break power to make it very difficult for any actor, and this could be a private actor, to concentrate power over or within the U.S. The U.S. political system. So this is what we've been doing, you know, from the first. And then we develop all these laws to deal with like really complicated technologies, like the telegraph and the telephone and the and the railroads. I mean, it's like this is what we've been doing for 200 years to keep our democracy and make it stronger and to allow us to use these technologies. And then what happened is in the early days of Reagan, a group of people said, "Hey, all of these laws that are aimed to protecting our liberties and protecting our democratic institutions, they're inefficient. So let's look at this whole system of law differently, and let's sort of use these laws to promote not the protection of democracy, but the promotion of productive efficiency. And they actually achieved this. They didn't change the laws, but they changed the framework by which they enforced the laws. This was in 1982 under the Reagan administration. The most radical change in American history of a fundamental regulatory system. And they achieved that. And then for 40 years, we kind of suspended our anti-monopoly laws. What we've been doing, you know, my friends and allies and I, we've been sort of reawakening people to, one, the problem of concentrated power, of concentrated control, and two, this incredibly rich history of anti-monopoly action and of anti-monopoly tools that we already have. We already have the laws sitting there. And so it's like Jonathan Cantor moving against Google, Jonathan Cantor from the Department of Justice, yep, moving against Google. He's using existing laws. The Congress has not been able to pass new laws. He doesn't need new laws. They just dusted off the old laws. That Lina Khan at the FTC, Chair Khan at the FTC, same thing, just dusting off old laws and going, oh my God, this is just as sharp as it was back in 1975, back in 1940, back in 1912. So let's use it the way we did back then. So it's a true revolution that's taking place that is undoing the Reagan revolution that got us into all of this mess.
My special guest is Barry Lynn, Executive Director of the Open Markets Institute. He's an expert on monopoly power. We're going to continue this discussion because, you know, J.D. Vance likes to act like he really is a big capitalist, but it's mostly hogwash. We'll talk with Barry about why that's so and what the differences between the Federal Trade Commission under a President Harris and Trump might look like. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 3 o'clock hour, so it means we're talking money. Today, specifically, monopolies, why they're really bad for democracy. My guest is Barry Lynn, Executive Director of the Open Markets Institute. He's written 3 books on this. I think reading about monopolies is incredibly interesting. It almost reads like spy novels in many ways. The book, The Informant, from back in the day, I mean, that was incredible, right? This was about the Archer Daniel Midland price-fixing scheme. I bet Barry's books are real page-turners, too. Their End of the Line, which came out in 2005, Cornered as in Markets, Cornered is the name of the book, 2010, and Liberty from All Masters, including corporate overlords, right? That book came out in 2020. Thanks so much for being here, Barry. I wanted to ask you this question. J.D. Vance talks the talk of being a capitalist and taking a hard line against monopolies, but that's a bunch of hooey, is it not? I mean, you say pretty clearly that J.D. Vance is just faking it and basically BSing the American people. Why do you say that?
You know, you have to look at not what people say, but what they do. And you have to look at who their friends are. And so what we've seen with J.D. Vance is he does what is necessary to advance the interests of J.D. Vance. And he hangs with people whose interests are not the continuation of democracy and open markets in the United States. So, if J.D. Vance were just a guy, you know, living in Columbus, Ohio, I think he could be a good, you know, a good ally for our cause. but that's not the J.D. Vance we're dealing with here. So he knows how to talk the talk, but, you know, it's like there's absolutely no reason to think that he's going to walk the walk, and a lot of reasons to think we're going to see the exact opposite.
Yeah, he is deeply concerning to me, as is President Trump, when we think about someone installing loyalists to run something like the Federal Trade Commission, which is in charge of investigating monopolies and often works hand in glove with the Federal Department of Justice to bring the sorts of cases like the two that we've seen brought successfully, or one that's been brought successfully against Google and one that just got underway today. Monopoly investigations and cases brought by the DOJ are good for consumers. They're good for the middle class. Because again, the more competition you have, you'll see price competition. Prices will come down. When you see monopolistic power, prices go up. It adds to inflation. When you think about the potential for a Kamala Harris administration versus a Donald Trump administration and what the FTC and DOJ enforcement actions might look like, what are the differences that voters can expect there between these two administrations?
Yeah, so Donald Trump, you know, he had 4 years. He actually talked a lot about a monopoly when he was running in 2016, and but then when he got into power, his people really did almost nothing. They did bring the case against Google, one of the cases against Google in October, but that was only because they were under pressure to do that from Rupert Murdoch, who hates Google. Because he thinks that Google's stealing his money.
Mm-hmm.
Because he runs the News Corp, he runs the Wall Street Journal. So that was a favor to Rupert Murdoch. But other than that, they really did nothing. Joe Biden, after he took power, turned out to be a revolutionary actor when it comes to monopoly. He overthrew intentionally, overtly, in public. He said, we are getting rid of the Reagan approach to monopoly. We're going back to the original American approach to dealing with concentrated power. And then he hired these two amazing change agents, Lena Khan to run the FTC and Jonathan Cantor to run the DOJ Antitrust Division. And they have... We are now living through the most important period of anti-monopoly enforcement in American history. This is more important than the period around Standard Oil, you know, more than 100 years ago. And so you may not always hear this in the newspapers, but it's like this is the best period, the most important period. Kamala Harris is my sense, and this is from, we got lots and lots of folks, all of the signaling that her staff is giving, all of the signaling we're getting from our friends on the inside is that not only will she continue with what Joe Biden has done, not only will she keep driving this effort forward, she's going to double down on it. That would be our bet.
Quite a stark difference. Which one of those approaches between another Donald Trump term and a potential Kamala Harris term as president will serve the middle class and consumers better, all else being equal? If nothing else changed, which one would help out the middle class more?
Oh, the middle class? I mean, there is zero doubt. I mean, it's like what they're going to do. If Kamala Harris, she's already said she's going to be focused on an opportunity economy. That means helping out small business. She's going to be breaking the concentrations of power that have driven this radical rise in the cost of rent and the cost of housing. You know, she said that. They're going to go. They're going to continue to go after the choke points that are resulting in all resulted in all this skyrocketing prices for food. I mean, It's like why are the price of food so high? It's because we only have four major groceries in America, and two of them are trying to merge right now, Kroger's and Albertsons, and most of them have local monopolies that they exploit. So it's like Harris, Vice President Harris knows exactly why the middle class has been hurting, and she intends, because she's a member of the middle class, she comes out of the middle class, she knows how people are hurting. Personally, she's gonna, she's got the tools to fix it, and by God, she's gonna do it.
What one of the things that scares me is when you have a presidential candidate effectively saying to certain corporate interests, and here big oil comes to mind, but there are certainly other corporate interests. Hey, you donate to me, you help me get elected, I'll reduce regulations. Is there not a whiff, if not a stench, coming from Donald Trump of he's going to pick those who have helped him and leave that those corporations alone, leave those monopolies alone. And if you haven't helped him, if you weren't on his side, he's going to use every agency of federal government to try to punish those corporations. Do you share that concern with me, Barry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like we saw this a bit with Richard Nixon back in the day. He used the anti-monopoly laws to target some of his enemies. Remember, and Richard Nixon had his enemies book.
Yes, the enemies list. Yep.
Yeah. So he. Let's be honest. Donald Trump's enemies list is a lot longer than Richard Nixon's. So he has already said, he said, I'm going to use the government in every which way to punish my enemies. So that includes anti-monopoly. So
and what it doesn't include, Barry, I'm sorry, I got to jump in because we're running out of time. What it doesn't include is explicitly caring about you and me and the middle class and those that actually worry about whether or not we're going to pay for groceries. Thank you so much, Barry, my special guest on this edition of Maggie Talking Monopolies and Money and Millionaires is Barry Lynn, Executive Director of the Open Markets Institute. Where can people find out more? What's the website to go to, Barry?
Just openmarketsinstitute.org.
You can check it out there. Thank you so much, Barry. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be back with Civic Media's own Terry Barr for what's local and overlooked and good in your neighborhood. Keep it locked, everybody. Your farm update is next.